If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. We are here today. This is Illini Guy Mike Kegley, and I'm sitting here with Illini Guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens, and we're going to talk about the big deal that happened, and it probably got a little bit overshadowed by the Fighting Illini's massive win over the Indiana Hoosiers yesterday. But Alex Palcheski announced that he is going to come back for his sixth season, and that was approved by the NCAA. And Matt, it seems like this is a much bigger event than maybe some people are taking it to be. Can you give us a couple of idea as to why this is important and why you thought we needed to get out and let Illini fans understand the benefits of what happened yesterday?
Mike, selfishly, on Saturday, it made me pull over in Jeff Gordon's hometown of Pittsboro, Indiana, on my way home from Bloomington to write a story about Illinois' five-year starter offensive lineman coming back for a fifth year, for a sixth year. It totally transforms the most important position group in the Brett Bielema era as we know it, and as it will always be, and that's offensive line. Because what it does is it allows this offensive line to go from where we kind of saw it, I would say, in January and say, boy, this is going to be a problem, to, oh, wow, this is actually going to be a pretty solid group if everything comes together the way they want. Because you bring in another guy that has started 40-plus games in his college career and a guy who is a leader already and a guy who that locker room is already – you know, rallies around in Palcho, and you put him in a spot potentially at offensive guard that allows Illinois to just succeed and have guys that they know can succeed at every position except for center. And that one center position is projected to be taken up by a guy whose dad was a 10-year all pro bowler at center in the National Football League and somebody that they think can produce at a really, really high level in Josh Kreutz. But everything else around Josh Kreutz is something that Bart Miller, the offensive line coach at Illinois, and Brett Bielema have told me that they're really excited about at this point. Because you put Palcho at guard, I know for a fact that they wanted Jordan Slaughter to start at guard this past season before he broke his ankle. Yep. So there's your two guards, and then your two tackles are Julian Pearl, who they are going to bring back as a returning starter, who, again, in January, Mike, we thought was going to be the only returning starter in this group. And then you bring in one of the country's best junior college offensive linemen, or offensive tackles, in Isaiah Adams from Garden City Community College in Kansas via Canada. And so what it also does is it takes guys like Zachary Barlev and Zai Chrysler, who are going to come in and potentially have huge roles and a huge steep learning curve. Well, now they're part of your rotational pieces on the offensive line. They're not exactly supposed to be projected starters at this point. And as we all know, Brett Bielema is going to build this, you know, close to the football out. And close to the football, they got a lot better with Alex Palcheski being able to come back for his sixth season. And quite honestly, if you're talking about it, Mike, and I know that I want to use language that you'll understand as a sales guy, Brett Bielema is trying to use tactics that just haven't been used yet. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people on our boards here at Illini Guys, Mike, that are saying, Matt, how is this possible? Well, it's possible because we all know that a lot of guys are becoming fifth year guys because they get the free year, right? Because, you know, 2020 didn't count.
Yep.
Well, what happens in that year that didn't count if you got hurt? And Brett Bielema has decided, why can't I apply for a medical redshirt in the year that didn't count? And the NCAA's basically kind of thought about it and went, actually, you kind of can. And so this is why Paucho's getting a sixth year, is that he's decided 6 years. The only time I've ever heard of anybody else before this getting a sixth year is if they've had two unbelievably long medical procedures that have forced them into an injury situation, and then you get the sixth year. Well, Paucho got the freebie, which allowed him to have the fifth. And in the freebie, he got hurt. As we all know, he got hurt in that Rutgers game. So he didn't play the half the year, didn't play that fourth game. So Brett Bielema, and he used it with Michael Marques and said, why can't I, if Michael got hurt in 2020, why can't I, you know, apply for the 2020 guys who got hurt to have another year? And the NCAA Eligibility Center in Indianapolis, you know, basically their officials kind of said, we don't have a reason why you can't, go for it. And from that standpoint, also, you have a Josh Whitman who has not only honored all of the guys who wanted to come back for this, you know, making this, you know, 95 plus scholarship dudes, you know, all the guys who came back, they honored all of those. And we all know, Michael, there were a lot of Big Ten schools that just said, look, we don't have the room and we don't want to do it, you know? And so Illinois was one of the first ones that says, hey, look, if you want to come back, they're letting us have as many scholarship guys as we want. Come on back. Well, Josh Whitman has decided, hey, Brett, if you want to do this with a sixth year for Alex Balcheski and a sixth year with Michael Marques, we're totally cool with that. We can handle that. We know you got to get under 85, but we can make this work too. So a lot of I's needed to be dotted and a lot of T's needed to be crossed. But, you know, Brett Bielema said last Wednesday when we had him for a press conference, he had a trick up his sleeve. And I immediately started going down my roster and going, gee, which one makes sense? And I'll tell you, Mike, the first name that came across my, and I'm not lying about this, I said, it sounds a lot like Paucho. And the only thing I think that the waiver needed to, once they got the approval from Michael Marques, it became a precedent that any kid that wants to do this all around the country can do this. If you got hurt in 2020, apply for that as your medical redshirt year, you'll get it back. Trust me. The deal with the waiver for Paucho is that he actually played in the Hula Bowl over in Orlando, which is supposed to be in Hawaii, but the game is now in Orlando, and they played it with some other Illinois guys that are preparing for the draft.
Yep.
So he needed the waiver to say, hey, look, I played in the Hula Bowl, but I want to come back to school. And the NCAA was like, yeah, sure, whatever. You don't have an agent yet, so this isn't a big deal, and go ahead and do it. Like, and so everything got, you know, paperwork-wise, got filed real early for Paucho, and it's my understanding, since he didn't get hurt significantly in this past 2021 season, he should be ready for spring ball if they want him to be. But I also think that Paucho's a guy, my God, he's started 40 plus games in his career. If you want to do some maintenance days with Paucho during the spring, I wouldn't be shocked if they did it. So this just makes everything at the most important position group for Brett Bielema even more solid. And I think you're definitely going to see, I'll give you one guarantee right now. One of the co-captains for the 2022 season is going to be Alex Balcheski. I can promise you that. And that's a really good thing too, because over my last 3 years covering this football program, Paucho has been one of those leaders, guys, that you have to have in a locker room beyond what he can do on the football field.
Well, and the interesting thing is it's, so it sounds like his health is going to be, you know, a green light. So anytime you can get a healthy, a healthy offensive lineman, I mean, that's just a big deal.
Well, and I'll only add to that, Mike, is that I think everybody kind of knew that when he got hurt, because the 2020 season got started so late, right?
Yep.
When he got hurt, when he did, everybody kind of knew that to get Paucho back by, I think he got hurt in early November. Well, then to get him back with that full knee deal that he had by July was going to, that was going to take, that was pushing it. And Alex did push it. And he wasn't 100% when they started the season, but he was good enough to go when he did. And I thought Illinois did a really smart thing when Julian Pearl finally got healthy enough to get back in the lineup. Bart Miller had enough conviction in his first year as an offensive line coach to say, hey, Paucho, I know that you've been a stalwart at right tackle. What if we kicked you inside to right guard and let Julian play right tackle? Because he's clearly more athletic than him. And I think that that was made easier by the fact that Paucho actually did struggle in that opener against Nebraska. Once Julian Pearl got 100% healthy, he didn't mind being kicked into that phone booth over in right guard and did a really, really good job once he did it. That's why I tell you, I think Illinois is going to want Paucho at that one of those guard positions. But another guy that if you have to kick him back outside because of an injury or what have you, he has the experience of playing, I think, having 30 plus 40, maybe even 40 starts over at right tackle. And he's a guy that you can do that if you feel like, you know, you want to plug a guard in before you want to plug in a tackle with your depth. So I know people might be a little bit surprised that we're doing a podcast about an offensive guard coming back. This just is precedent for all of our subscribers to understand. You're starting 22, you're starting two deep. Every member of that has got to be as solid as you possibly can if you want this thing to be as good as you want it to be, especially in this era of college football. Teams are just too talented, teams are too deep, and Illinois continues to add to its depth in unique ways like this. And I'm telling you, like, there isn't a Big Ten school in the league, Ohio State included, Michigan included, Penn State included, that wouldn't be jacked right now to have a sixth-year, five-year returning starter on its offensive line. That's like printing money for offensive coaches and head coaches in this league, and everybody would take it. And Brett Bielema was benefiting from a tactic that I haven't seen anybody else use around the country. And I think that it just kind of shows his unique way of entering college football again and trying to find some, I don't even want to say loopholes, but be able to read the rules off of what was 2020 and say, hey, I think I can benefit my program doing it this way. And I think if you're at Illinois and you're Brett Bielema, you better be doing stuff like this. And this is proof that he's trying his darndest to maximize his roster, as he always says.
Yeah. And it's kind of that thing that you see when you sit down and get a chance to talk to Coach B. You can tell that there's almost two trains of thought that he has almost simultaneously. One is conversation that he's having right now, and then he always seems to be planning for the future. And I think that the only thing I can say is maybe going to the NFL, working with Belichick, getting that experience. I almost feel like the only way for me to describe it is the college football game, and I mean the elements around it, have slowed down for him even more. And he's already got a pretty good track record of success when you look at what he did at Wisconsin. And Arkansas wasn't great, but again, it wasn't a resounding collapse. He had some good years there, but it seems like the coaching gig has slowed down for him. And I think one of the things that he does may be very similar, and this could be, you know, for the type of player, you know, he wasn't an All-American showing up at the University of Iowa. He was a guy who had to develop his sets of tools with the goal towards getting on the field, and it was going to take a lot of hard work, and it still wasn't guaranteed that he was going to be able to do that. And I think he kind of approaches coaching that way now, you know, and maybe when he was a younger man, I didn't know him, but maybe he took for granted when you're the Wisconsin head coach in your mid-30s, you probably take some stuff for granted that maybe you wouldn't now as the Illinois coach, around 50 years old. And you know, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like he's gotten a little bit strategically maybe elevated the game beyond what a lot of college coaches are doing right now.
Yeah, there's a Belichickian, like, you know, essence to this, which is, you know, I'm sure he sat in his office especially with Michael Marques, and maybe he was, you know, deep thinking this with Paucho as well, but he's going, wait a minute. All right, if this was a free year and you got hurt in your free year, why can't you get the free year back? And And Brett seems to have this thing in his head where he goes, well, if I ask, the worst thing that they can tell me is no, right? Like, and then I just nothing lost, nothing gained, right? That seemed to be how it kind of worked out for Illinois, is that Brett kind of just decided, well, the worst thing that can happen is I ask and they say no. And then at that point, okay, we're back to where we started. Like, and back to where we started was a major concern, Mike. I got to tell you, like, your two starting guards projected, at least for this spring, was a guy that was coming off of major ankle surgery in Jordan Slaughter and Alex Pilstrom and maybe Zai Chrysler, who was a junior college lineman who didn't have a whole lot of interest. And so from guard to guard, you had a lot of questions going into the spring. They still have some questions, but it's definitely a lot less questions when you can maybe plug Paucho in there and then plug Jordan Slaughter in there. And now you're worried about your depth. Now you're worried about building that sixth and seventh and eighth offensive lineman, you know, that you're going to need throughout the season, as we learned, because injuries are going to happen. But you're not worried about, you know, the starting guard and your starting center and your starting guard. And how are you going to protect Tommy DeVito? And how is this all going to work? And what if the JUCO, you know, phenomenon that we recruited, who that we think big things of, Isaiah Adams, isn't ready for Big Ten football yet? And all of these things, you know, get kind of massaged now because you've got a, you know, a guy who's had 50 starts in the Big Ten, you know, under his belt, wanting to come back for a sixth season. And all of these things, and we did this, Jake Hansen, too, last year, where it was like, hey, you know, we were at linebacker, but to bring in somebody who has experienced that much leadership in that locker room, that can only benefit the University of Illinois. And so you just have to believe that Brett Bielema, again, is trying to maximize the 85, you know, scholarships on his roster. And it's hard for me to tell you how important that 70th guy and that scholarship, the 70th scholarship guy is throughout a, you know, 4 month football season, 4 to 5 month football season, because it is, especially in this league. And especially when the margin of error in the Big Ten West is not very big. And you need it to go from top in the Big Ten West to the bottom of the Big Ten West. It's not that steep of a climb. And so you figure that if you can bring in talent like Alex Palcheski. And also, I think it just kind of dictates to you again the idea that, you know, Brett Bielema is going to have this position group be the bread and butter of what Illini football is. And if you can bring in somebody like Paucho, who, my God, when we weren't playing football in 2020 in August, he was pushing his dad's truck up the street just to keep himself physically fit and ready to go. That kind of player and that kind of person is who you want in your locker room. And, oh, by the way, he was one of the first people when Brett Bielema said, hey, I want you all to come back. If you want to come back, he was one of the first people to jump on and say, hey, look, I'm coming back. And I don't want to enter the transfer portal. I want to be here at Illinois. And lastly, it's an Illinois kid that can sell the in-state thing to the, you know, future of this Illini football program, which I know this staff just incredibly values. So there were so many boxes that Alex Palcheski checked when, you know, during his 5-year playing career that I just feel like is just going to be amplified in this sixth year of the 2022 season.
Yeah, that's an excellent move for the team. And certainly I can understand that. I managed to compress 4 years of college into 5. And if I could have found a way to compress a sixth year in there, and I use the word compress with quotation marks and incorrectly, but if I could have got a 6-1 in there, then gosh darn, you know, you got an opportunity to play for University of Illinois, playing the sport that you love, and you get an extra season of doing it. Now, the interesting thing, I've just been doing a cursory look, and I can't find a list of, like, most starts ever in NCAA football. But I wonder if he is going to be potentially, you know, if he can keep his health. Could we see that the University of Illinois player puts a record out there that may be unreachable when you add a couple of the stipulations that have allowed it to happen? That would be kind of neat to see that in the record books. And, of course, if Kofi wants to come back for a 4th and a 5th year so that he can set all sorts of NCAA records with an Illinois name on there, I'm always for that, too. So go Alex.
Yeah, I think Paucho is certainly going to set the school record. I don't know if he'll set the nation record, but I have to admit, because this has all been so weird and we've never done it before because of COVID in 2020, he'd have to be up there, because we used to joke that, I mean, we entered the 2021 season with Illinois having the most experienced offensive line, I think, in the country. I mean, and when you talk about the amount of starts that, you know, of Adarian Lowe and Alex Palcheski and Doug Kramer and all Blake Girasati, even when you add up his stuff at Wofford before he got here, you know, there's all this, but you're seeing this position group just kind of come together for 2022. And I knew it was the biggest question mark, because I mean, I even had people that were around Tommy DeVito calling me and telling me, well, if they can figure out the offensive line, we think Tommy's going to do great things. And my first initial knee jerk response was, well, yeah, like, that's kind of a big question mark right now. You guys understand that, right? And I do think that Brett Bielema was kind of keeping this close to the vest and not even telling like the DeVito people that I have this, you know, I'm trying to play this trump card here, but but now that they've played it and they've won the hand, essentially getting Paucho back, it's not so much of a concern of how are we going to protect Tommy in the pocket anymore? And how is this passing game going to work with an inexperienced offensive line? And how's this running game going to work with all these, you know, all these young guys now being forced into major action? You know, again, the Alex Pilstroms, the Zy Chryslers, the Zachary Barlevs, you know, the Joey Oakleys, and all of those five guys that are in that 22 recruiting class, they get to kind of learn at their own pace now, and they don't have to get, you know, force fed into action because Illinois is not deep at all on the offensive line. Oh, by the way, Hunter Norzad over at Cornell, the offensive right tackle and right guard, potentially, he hasn't made his decision yet. And we've detailed already on Illini Guys that, you know, he's got Illinois as one of his potential five options. And we've detailed all five of the pros and cons of those options. And Illinois is still on the table for that. So maybe that position group can get even stronger. But even if that doesn't foresee to actually happen for Illinois, I think they can go into the spring feeling pretty good about Bart Miller's second year in with this offensive line and second year implementing what he wants to do. Because Bart Miller, I've had conversations with him about how he was so happy that he was able to make Alex Palcheski an even better player, even as a fifth year player. And he was able to make Doug Kramer an even better player with some of the things that he was able to teach them so early on in his coaching career at Illinois, and was able to get them to buy in immediately to him. So this is just really, really big. And I know that to the novice football fan, okay, yeah, he's an offensive guard. Like, yay, what the heck does that mean? It means your football team got extremely better, and it got it better at what their head coach thinks is their most important position. And imagine, you know, and I saw a lot of people making this comparison because, quite frankly, at Illinois, you have to compare things to basketball. This is like Damonte Williams coming back to the Illini for his fifth year, and how much important that was for Brad Underwood and in this program, to have somebody that is the glue guy for a really, really important wing position that he wants. Palcheski is the big glue guy for this offensive line, and he always has been. And until he finally walks out the door and tries to, you know, he's going to be so good at whatever he wants to do. He's so smart. He's such a, and it's not shocking to me that he immediately gets accepted into whatever grad program he wants at Illinois. But he's the glue guy of this locker room. He's the glue guy of this football program. And I've talked about guys that on this team and veterans on this team that were just conditioned to lose. He's the one that benefited the most by this new era of Brett Bielema and understood that, hey, this is a new deal here, and we're trying to actually compete in the Big Ten West, and we're not trying to just be another program. And Palcheski had to relearn all of the culture that Brett Bielema wanted to set in, and he did it very, very quickly. And I know there's a lot of guys in that locker room that are really, really excited about Paucho coming back and 63 being in that locker room for one more year.
That's great news. That's great news. So this is Eye on the Illini. We wanted to give you kind of a rundown on why this news that you might have looked at and thought, oh, that's nice, but it may be a little bit bigger than what you think. And the other thing that we also wanted to kind of throw out there is that with Coach B, you're looking at a coach who's definitely looking at today, but also looking at the implications of actions down the line. And we've seen on the basketball side, when you take a look at what Coach Underwood has built and the way he is moving pieces on the chessboard at a much better rate than what his peers are, those things tend to add up. And of course, you see on the basketball side, you know, Coach Underwood's 24-3 in his last 27 games versus Big Ten opponents. And we're starting to see some of the traits that have made Coach Underwood so successful starting to happen over on the football side as well. As somebody who grew up in the 80s when both Illinois programs were in the top 15 for a few years, that was a fun era to grow up in. And I really hope Illini fans get a chance to experience that again. And I think we've finally got the coaches on each side that makes it necessary, you know, that you have the talent level necessary to make an attempt at that. And they've got the athletic director who supports them and puts them in places where they can be successful. So with that, Matt, I'm going to give you the last word, and then we're going to head out of here so people can get on with their day.
I'm excited selfishly because Paucho is one of my favorite people to interview and for my people to be around on this football team. So when you talk about somebody who's just genuinely funny, and Paucho is that dude. And I know that this football program and these football coaches are happy to have that big boy in the middle of their offensive line for this 2022 season. And while I do think people are concerned about this 2022 season, and I think that a lot of people have assumed that there will be a dip, I have never given you that implication here at Illini, guys. And I do think that there's the possibility here of Illinois taking another step forward here in 2022. And I think that the spring could be really, really interesting when you start to see what Brett Bielema wants to, you know, add on to that foundation that they built in year one that I know he's not thrilled with at 5-7, but there are a lot of good things that you can build on. And I think the spring is going to be really, really exciting with the mixture of veterans and the mixture of talent that he's brought into this program. And you're right, Mike. I think there are a lot of people that are excited about what the future could look like 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years down the line with Coach B and what he's trying to build here in Champaign.
Excellent. So with that, we're going to close it off. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of I Am the Illini. Real quick, go to IlliniGuys.com. We have a free 7-day trial, $99 for 1 year. You will get all the inside information. Just go to IlliniGuys.com. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's a 2-hour radio extravaganza every Friday or Saturday. There's 25 stations in the state of Illinois that broadcast our show. Please go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio tab, and it will give you a list of all 25 stations and what time we are on the air. We would love to have you listen in. And of course, we also have our other podcasts. We have Eye on the Illini, we have Sturdy for 30, and we have Ked's Recruiting Roundup. Please join the Illini Guys experience. We would love to have you. And of course, as the Illini get more and more successful in basketball and football, the bandwagon is going to need to be bigger and bigger. And IlliniGuys.com, we are there to make sure that you can find a seat. Thank you very much. And we will see you again. Go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.